And in this reading this morning, we have another response to or from a man who met with the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't meet with him as a grown man, but he meets with him as a baby. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to concentrate on that reading that Paul just took for us. And I want us to look in particular at the words that Simeon had to say in verses 29 through to verse 32. As Paul said, Jesus had been taken to the temple according to Old Testament custom and requirement. It was necessary for a mother to go to the temple after her child, her male child, was 6 weeks old, and to purify herself and also to present the child before God. We're not told who Simeon is. He is the most important character in this story, but we are told that he has to say a number of things. And this morning, I want us to look very briefly at Simeon and to see what we can learn from him as a challenge to ourselves and as an encouragement. The first thing that I want to tell you about Simeon this morning was that he was a man who enjoyed Christmas, or to put it another way, a man who benefited from Christmas. If you look at verse 29, it says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." We don't know how old Simeon was, because this suggests that he's ready to die. A lot of people think that maybe he was an old man, but we're not told that. But what we are told was that he had found peace in life and he was ready to meet his God. And we are grateful for that, that he gives us this testimony. And the testimony that he gives about himself is that he has found peace with God. But Luke, when he is describing Simeon, describes him in this way. And perhaps if you go back a few verses earlier, you will see that he was a righteous and devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. These two words, righteous and devout, tell us that for Simeon, he knew it was important to live in the presence of God and to live in obedience to the word of God. But also, he was devout, he was devoted, he was committed. He was committed to God, but he was also committed to other people. And then we were told that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, that is a theological term. It's a term that tells us he was expecting God to work in a particular way. He knew the promises of God, and he was waiting for God to fulfill those promises and for God to work again. And for many of us today, we are looking at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're also looking for that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And the last thing that we're told about Simeon was that he was a man knowing that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, we're not told how God worked in Simeon's life, but he had experienced peace, and he was promised what was, or he understood what was promised by the angels, that experience of peace. Excuse me. His experience of God, even before the coming of Jesus and the outpouring of the Spirit, meant that he had peace in life, and he had peace that God would take him through this life and through death. I want to ask you this morning, do you enjoy Christmas in the same way as Simeon did? The second thing that I want to show you from this is in verse 30, that Simeon was a man who understood the Lord Jesus. He was the baby Jesus at this stage. But he says here, as he looks down at this baby that he's holding in his arms, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Now, for many people this Christmas, Jesus will be no more than a baby in a nativity scene. Maybe a doll, maybe a carving, maybe a picture on a Christmas card. For Simeon, Jesus was a real baby. He was holding a human being. He was known as the son of Mary and Joseph. And yet Simeon, when he looked down on him, could see something more. He could see the promise made to Joseph, Mary's husband. When the angel spoke to Joseph, he said, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Simeon looked down at this baby, and he knew that he was God's way of saving other people. "For mine eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon, even before Jesus died on the cross, knew that this child was going to be the one who would save every person who has trusted God from the days of Adam to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon saw him with the eye of faith. This morning, let me ask you, how do you see the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it with a cold intellect that simply tells you he was a historical character? Is it with a pessimistic view that says, "I don't even believe that Jesus was a real human being"? You will not be the first person to speak like that. When Jesus hung on the cross 33 years later, people said to him, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him." How do you see Jesus? A doll in a nativity scene? A helpless baby in a manger? A helpless victim on a cross? Or, as he was then, and as he is now, the Son of God, who came into the world to take responsibility for all the sins of all his people, so that they can be totally saved? Jesus is God's salvation, the way that God has chosen to save people from the consequences of sin. So he was a man who enjoyed Christmas. He was a man who understood Jesus. Thirdly, he was a man who understood history. Because in verse 31, he goes on and he says that "you have prepared in the presence of all people." We so often think of the coming of Jesus as an isolated event in history. But what Simeon is saying is that the whole of the Old Testament has prepared for this time. We think of God working simply in the land of Israel and amongst the people that today we call the Jews. But Simeon is saying, no, this has happened in the sight of all nations. When God created this world, he created Adam and Eve perfect, but they disobeyed. And the human race, as it existed at that time, fell under the judgment of God. But throughout history, God has called a man like Abraham out of a pagan city. He rescued his people, Israel, from an unbelieving nation called Egypt. He cared for his people as they wandered through the wilderness. So when they came to the land of Canaan, the people of Canaan could say, "We have seen what God has done in your life." Every event that happened in the Old Testament happened before other people, so that other people would know what God is doing. And today, friends, God is working in the lives of other people, but in a public way, so that you can see how lives are changed. And all of these events in the Old Testament were leading up to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then ultimately to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that on the cross, God was able to say, I love you so much that I am prepared to take responsibility for your sin and for your failure, and to make peace with myself and yourself. God has not done this in secret. In a way, every superpower of the ancient world was a witness to the superpower, the only power in heaven and on earth. And often, they did it with the bitter reality that they could not touch the people of God and oppose the purposes of God and hope to expect to escape his justice. The fourth thing that I want to show you about this man, Simeon, this morning was that he was a man with a message for all people. He understood. He enjoyed Christmas. He understood the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood God's purposes in history. And he understood that God has a message for all peoples. Look what it says here. A light for revelation. This is verse 33. To the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. He's quoting an Old Testament verse. And he is saying that God's message of salvation is for the Gentiles. Last night, we were looking at the message being for all people, and it is the same idea here. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just for the Jew. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just for people who have grown up in chapel life. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ is not simply for white Anglo-Saxons. No, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is for people of the whole world. And today, as we mark Christmas, we will be using lights. I've been amazed this year by the different lights that are displayed outside people's homes. But we're not talking here about little trinkets. We are talking here about Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And Simeon looks down on this child. He sees him as God's salvation. And he sees him as the one who will give light to the world. He is the Savior. He is the one who is able and willing to save people from all nations. So as I draw to a close this morning, Jesus was prepared to come. He actually came. He came to save, and he achieved his goal. He has sent his message through his messengers to all people. Will you, like the shepherds and the wise men this morning, come? Will you, like Mary and Joseph, be ready to trust and obey, even though you might not fully understand? Will you, like Simeon, see Jesus with the eye of faith and believe that you can live and die in peace? Because I have to say to you that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only Savior, and you must trust in him in order to be saved. And Christmas is a great invitation. It is that word, come again. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The shepherds said, come, and let's go and see this thing that the angel spoke of. And that's what we say to you this morning. Come, because the Lord Jesus Christ has come to give light and come to be a saviour. So let's conclude our worship this Christmas morning by singing our final carol, which is 206 in the hymn book. Again, it will come up on the screens. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. After the service closes, if the children would find Ian, he has got a little gift that has been given by one of the ladies who attends our church. She's sadly not able to be here this morning, but pester Ian and he will have something for you, children. Okay? Let's sing.